I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
On July 25th of 2020, I was documenting a BLM protest going downtown, and unfortunately, I witnessed the death of Garrett Foster at the hands of Daniel Perry. Through the jury and court case, we've learned a lot of different facts of the case that has led to Daniel Perry's conviction of guilty for murder. The governor is trying to pardon this individual, and I believe strongly that he's making a mistake.
Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's working as swiftly as possible to pardon a U.S. Army sergeant just convicted of murdering a Black Lives Matter protester in 2020, blocks from the state capitol building in Austin. We'll speak to an independent journalist filming that night and to a former Travis County assistant district attorney. Then to Nashville, as Democratic State Representative Justin Jones returns to the Tennessee State House days after Republicans expelled him, after the Metropolitan Council of Nashville yesterday voted unanimously to reinstate him. The Justice Department has launched a criminal investigation into a leak of highly classified Pentagon intelligence about the war in Ukraine and U.S. spying on its adversaries and its allies. We'll speak with investigative journalist James Bamford, author of Spyfail.
So what you have is really unprecedented. You have a proxy war going on between two nuclear powers, the United States and Russia. At the same time, you have somebody leaking some of the most highly classified material in the U.S. government, particularly the Pentagon. And it involves the country that we're supporting in this proxy war. So it's very dangerous because the government has no idea who it is or how much more can be released or leaked and what the potential damage might be. So it's an extremely potentially dangerous situation.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Kentucky, a gunman armed with an AR-15-style semi-automatic assault rifle killed five people at a bank in downtown Louisville Monday morning. Eight others were injured, including a police officer shot in the head and required brain surgery. Louisville police say they responded to reports of shots fired within 3 minutes and killed the shooter in an exchange of gunfire. Investigators identified the shooter as a 25-year-old employee of Old National Bank who live-streamed the massacre on social media as he targeted his co-workers. Kentucky's Democratic Governor Andy Beshear said three close friends were among the victims, including the bank's vice president, Thomas Elliott, a longtime Democratic Party donor.
This is awful. I have a very close friend that didn't make it today. And I have another close friend who didn't either, and one who's at the hospital that I hope is going to make it through.
Just 2 hours after Monday's mass shooting in Louisville, one person was killed and another injured at a community college less than 2 miles away. According to the Gun Violence Archive, there have been 146 mass shootings in the United States this year alone. The violence brought renewed focus to efforts by Republicans to further deregulate guns, including U.S. Congressmember Thomas Massie of Kentucky, whose district includes parts of Louisville suburbs. In 2021, he tweeted a photo of himself and six family members holding assault-style rifles with the caption, "Merry Christmas, P.S. Santa, please bring ammo." In Tennessee, the Metropolitan Council in Nashville voted unanimously Monday to reinstate Democratic State Representative Justin Jones just days after Republicans voted to expel him from the Tennessee House of Representatives for joining peaceful protests against gun violence. This is Nashville Metro Council member Delicia Porterfield speaking just before Monday's 36-0 vote.
Representative Jones was honest about who he was, a bold and unapologetic advocate for the community. The people chose their representative. And with this vote, we will send a strong message to our state government and across the country that we will not tolerate threats to our democracy.
Following the vote, Representative Jones and more than 1,000 supporters marched to the Tennessee Capitol, where Jones retook the oath of office. He later joined debate on the House floor during an afternoon session.
I want to welcome democracy back to the people's house. That on last Thursday, members of this body tried to crucify democracy, but today we stand as a witness of a resurrection of a movement of a multiracial democracy that no unjust decision will stand.
Representative Jones also immediately called for the resignation of the House Speaker, Cameron Sexton. A second Democratic lawmaker who was expelled last week, Justin Pearson of Memphis, could be reappointed to the Tennessee House today if a majority of the Shelby County Commission's 13 members agree to it. To see our coverage of this story, including our interviews with Representative Justin Jones, go to democracynow.org. In Virginia, prosecutors in Newport News have filed criminal charges against the mother of a 6-year-old boy who shot his elementary school teacher in January. The shooting left Abigail Zwirner with an injury to her chest and hand. The boy's mother faces one felony count of child neglect and one misdemeanor count of recklessly storing a firearm. Zwirner is suing the Newport News school board and administrators, who she says repeatedly shrugged off warnings that the student was making threats and appeared to have a gun. The Biden administration's filed a lawsuit seeking to block Texas federal judge's ruling that revokes the Food and Drug Administration approval of the abortion pill mifepristone. The Justice Department is asking the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals to keep the order on hold until a final decision is made. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Monday the administration's prepared for a long legal fight.
This decision further stripes away Americans' fundamental freedoms and interferes with a woman's ability to make decisions about her own body. And it's another step towards the ultimate goal that we've heard over and over again from anti-choice officials that both the state and at the both the state and national level, eliminating access to abortion for all women in every state.
Separately, the Justice Department filed a motion in a federal court in Washington state asking for clarification after that court issued a conflicting ruling on Friday, ordering the FDA to maintain the status quo by keeping mifepristone available. The Washington ruling applies only to 17 states and the District of Columbia, with Democratic attorneys general who sued over this issue. Meanwhile, over 400 pharmaceutical industry executives have signed an open letter condemning the Texas federal judge's ruling on medication abortions. The letter reads in part, quote, "If courts can overturn drug approvals without regard for science or evidence or for the complexity required to fully vet the safety and efficacy of new drugs, any medicine is at risk for the same outcome as mifepristone," unquote. In Burma, witnesses report about 100 people, including pregnant women and children, were killed today as the Burmese military junta bombed a village in the Sagaing region. A junta aircraft reportedly dropped two bombs and fired on people as they gathered for the opening of a new town office. Members of Burma's government in exile condemned the attack as a, quote, heinous act that constitutes a war crime, they said. The UN has warned of worsening humanitarian and human rights crises in Burma with mass arrests, torture of prisoners, the killing of civilians, and media repression. The United States and the Philippines have opened annual war games in what the Pentagon is calling the largest military exercise of its kind in the South China Sea. Nearly 18,000 troops have joined the drills, which will feature live fire exercises. Australia's armed forces are also taking part. The war games opened just after China concluded 3 days of military drills around Taiwan. Earlier today, protesters gathered outside the Philippines military headquarters as the drills got underway. This is the Philippines opposition leader, Renata Reyes.
Clearly, the war games are intended to project U.S. power in Asia. It's not intended to defend the Philippines. It's not intended to help the Philippines modernize. It's really intended to showcase U.S. power, and it is a preparation for war.
Russia's military has launched a fresh wave of assaults across 9 territories of Ukraine, with dozens of airstrikes and missile attacks reported over the past 24 hours. There are also continuing reports of fierce fighting around Bakhmut, where a pro-Russia official claimed mercenaries with the Wagner Group have seized 75% of the besieged city. Elsewhere, Russia and Ukraine carried out a prisoner swap on Monday, with each side freeing about 100 prisoners of war. Meanwhile, the Washington Post is reporting Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, a U.S. ally and major recipient of U.S. military aid, recently ordered subordinates to produce up to 40,000 rockets to be covertly shipped to Russia. President Sisi reportedly tried to keep the shipments a secret, quote, to avoid problems with the West, unquote. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut responded, quote, Egypt is one of our oldest allies in the Middle East. If it's true that Sisi's covertly building rockets for Russia that could be used in Ukraine, we need to have a serious reckoning about the state of our relationship, unquote. The revelations came as part of classified U.S. intelligence documents found in a trove of files leaked online earlier this year. We'll have more on that story with journalist James Banford later in the broadcast. The leader of Belarus has asked Russia to guarantee its security in case it's attacked by the United States or NATO powers. The authoritarian president, Alexander Lukashenko, made the comments during a conversation Monday with Russia's defense minister, who was visiting Minsk.
In case there is an attack on Belarus, the Russian Federation would defend Belarus like its own territory. These are the kinds of security guarantees we need. Actually, in the 1990s, it was more or less discussed. Now, because of what the West has been doing, it has been forgotten about. What safety guarantees can America provide us? None, apart from provoking aggression towards us. We need full security guarantees from our brothers in Russia.
Last month, Russian President Vladimir Putin said he planned to deploy so-called tactical nuclear weapons to Belarus. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has reversed his decision to fire Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, as violence against Palestinians intensifies following Israel's recent brutal raids at Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied East Jerusalem. In a televised speech Monday, Netanyahu said their differences had been put aside to, quote, continue to work together for the security of the citizens of Israel. In his remarks, Netanyahu also denounced recent mass protests demanding his far-right government cancel plans to dramatically weaken Israel's judiciary, blaming the opposition for Israel's deteriorating security. Hundreds of protesters took to the streets of Tel Aviv Monday night in response. At least 8 were arrested in clashes with police. In more news from the region, Israeli ultranationalist senior government officials joined thousands of Israeli settlers Monday as they marched to an illegal outpost near Nablus in the occupied West Bank, demanding Israel's government legalize and repopulate the settlement. The march included Israel's national security minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, as well as Israel's far-right finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, who promised to expand existing settlements and to help create new ones across the West Bank, which he called our land.
Eviatar will soon be legalized as promised by the previous government. This place will be bustling with Jewish life, upright, proud, lovers of the land and of the Torah.
In Texas, Republican Governor Greg Abbott is planning to pardon a man convicted of murdering a Black Lives Matter protester. Daniel Perry was found guilty by a Travis County jury last week for killing 28-year-old Garrett Foster at an Austin racial justice protest in July 2020 following the police murder of George Floyd. Conservatives have rallied around Perry, a former U.S. Army sergeant who's being sentenced today. Later in the show, we'll go to Austin, Texas, for an update. And U.S. authorities have arrested Roberto Antonio Garay Saravia, a retired Army colonel from El Salvador's Army, over his role in the 1981 El Mazote massacre, where U.S.-trained Salvadoran military officers killed nearly 1,000 civilians across 7 villages. Immigration and Customs Enforcement claims Garay hid his involvement in the massacre in his application to become a legal U.S. resident in 2014. Garay, who received combat training at Fort Benning School of the Americas in Georgia, is also linked to 3 other massacres from 1981 to 1984 in El Salvador. He's currently held in an immigration jail in Pennsylvania. If deported, he would likely walk free in El Salvador, as Salvadoran authorities have never issued arrest warrants against any military officers involved in the El Mazote massacre. The Reagan administration and the Salvadoran military junta covered up the massacre for years. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I am Amy Goodman. We begin today's show in Tennessee, where the Metropolitan Council of Nashville voted unanimously Monday to reinstate Democratic State Representative Justin Jones, just days after Republicans voted to expel him from the Tennessee House of Representatives for joining peaceful protests against gun violence after a massacre at a Christian school. Nashville Metro Council member Delicia Porterfield speaking just before Monday's unanimous 36-0 vote to return Jones to the Tennessee House until a special election can be held. First, Nashville Mayor John Cooper.
This afternoon's vote is unprecedented. But so was the action taken to expel members of the legislature. Voters in District 52 elected Justin Jones to be their voice at the State House, and that voice was taken away this past week. So let's give them their voice back, and I'd call on this body to vote unanimously right now to do just that. Thank you.
On Thursday, April the 6th, we witnessed a miscarriage of justice and an egregious assault on our democracy, which resulted in over 70,000 Davidson County voters, our voters, being silenced when our representative was expelled. This is not the first attempt of the state attempting to silence the people. With this vote to reinstate Representative Jones, we are restoring the political voice of the 70,000 people of District 52. Community members are more than capable of selecting their representative, and their will should have never been undermined. Representative Jones was honest about who he was, a bold and unapologetic advocate for the community. The people chose their representative, and with this vote, we will send a strong message to our state government and across the country that we will not tolerate threats to our democracy.
If you are for the election of Justin Jones to be the interim successor for the vacant seat of Tennessee House District 52, you will vote aye. If not, you will vote no. Votes are in. Mr. Clerk, close the machines. Take the vote. Ayes 36. No. Justin Jones has been elected as the interim successor for the vacant seat of Tennessee House District 52, pursuant to the state law and the rules governing the Metropolitan Council.
Following the vote, Justin Jones and more than 1,000 supporters marched to the Tennessee Capitol chanting, "No Justins, no peace," and more. Upon upon arriving at the steps of the Texas State Capitol in Austin, Justin Jones was sworn in again, reinstated, and addressed his supporters as they looked on.
I'll end by saying this. When they expelled us, they had no idea that this was going to happen. They just thought that they would go about as they do, and as they always do, that they would abuse their power and there would be no resistance, that they would do something unconstitutional and we would just have to wait to seek accountability. When we say to that there comes a time where time itself is ready for a change, and that time has come to Nashville. That time has come to Tennessee. Speaker Cameron Sexton, you can either move on over or we'll move on over you, because we're moving on. And so, friends, Nashville and Tennessee, we hope you join us in the People's House, because no matter what happens here today, we have a speaker who may not respect the results. So we need people to show up in the chamber and let him know that we will not allow him to stand in the doorways of the legislature like governors of the past and politicians of the past to sit in the doorways of schools challenging desegregation. We won't let him stand in the doorways of democracy anymore. And that he tried to crucify democracy, but hey, happy Easter Monday, because we are resurrecting a movement across this state. Forward together and not one step back. Forward together. Whose house? Whose house? Whose house?
After the swearing in, Justin Jones immediately called for the resignation of Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton. Jones' supporters then sang as they entered the Capitol and walked up the steps to the chamber to return to his seat and the site of his expulsion just last Thursday. As they walked up the steps of the Tennessee Capitol in Nashville, Representative Jones took his seat on the House floor as the session was ongoing, arm in arm with fellow Tennessee Democrat Gloria Johnson, who narrowly missed being expelled last week with him. He raised his fist in the air to cheers. Looking on was Justin Pearson of Memphis, who was also expelled last week as one of the Tennessee Three. Pearson could be reappointed to the Tennessee House today if a majority of the Shelby County Commission's 13 members agree to it. On Sunday, the expelled state representative, Justin Pearson, joined his father, Pastor Jason Pearson, and spoke at an Eastern service in Memphis at the Church of the River First Unitarian Church.
The Republican-led supermajority of the Tennessee General Assembly sought to have a political lynching of three of its members because we spoke out of turn against the status quo of the government after the tragic deaths of six people in the shooting at the Covenant School in Nashville. Evelyn Dickhouse, William Kinney, and Haley Scruggs were 9 years old. Cynthia Peake, Mike Hill, and Catherine Kuntz worked at the school. The shooter, Audrey Hale, was gunned down by police that day as well. Because we walked to the well of the House out of turn, resolutions were unjustly and undemocratically filed against us on these trumped-up charges. Because we spoke out against the empire, against those in positions of power without God power or people power, because we spoke out against the empire of the NRA and the gun lobbyists demanded an end to gun violence and an end to the proliferation of weapons on our streets and an end to the funerals we attend day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. Because we did that, the Republican-led General Assembly, with the support of folks even in this district like Mark White from our own community, thought it better to get rid of our Democratic representation in District 86 than to actually solve the problem. This has been a holy week. This has been a sacred week. The lesson from it is that resurrection is a promised prophecy to a persecuted people. 55 years ago this week, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed by gun violence. And I tell you what, his words from what he spoke just days before he was assassinated are still true. The movement lives or dies in Memphis. 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 The movement for justice lives or dies in Memphis. The movement for democracy lives or dies in Memphis. The movement to end gun violence lives or dies in Memphis. We've seen those who want to kill the movement and the Republican-led supermajority. We've witnessed one of the most historic, unprecedented, unjustifiable abuses of power by a state government against black folks and a woman. Just because we decided to own our birthright to speak up against injustice, to speak up and fight for people, including people who are no longer here. People like my own classmate, Larry Thorne, killed by gun violence earlier this year. Those people who can speak no more because we decided to elevate the voices and the hearts and the spirits of those folk. The supermajority Republican legislature decided that it was time for us to go because it was, in our opinion, time to listen. Time to listen to the demands of thousands of children and youth and teenagers asking for leaders in positions of power to do something. To pass laws that actually prevent gun violence. To pass laws that actually support communities. To pass laws that actually support youth. Ensuring to make our community safer everywhere.
That's Justin Pearson of Memphis. He was expelled last week as one of the Tennessee Three for engaging in a gun protest after the mass shooting at a Christian school in Nashville. Pearson could be reappointed to the Tennessee House Wednesday, as Justin Jones was on Monday, if a majority of the Shelby County Commission's 13 members agree to it. Coming up, Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's working as swiftly as possible to pardon a U.S. Army sergeant who was just convicted of murdering a Black Lives Matter protester in 2020. Stay with us.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday.
State Representative Justin Jones singing with Joan Baez, We Shall Overcome, as they met in the airport. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. as we go right now to the capital of Texas, to Austin, where Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's working as swiftly as possible to pardon a U.S. Army sergeant who was just convicted Friday of murdering a Black Lives Matter activist in 2020, just blocks from the Texas State Capitol building. The move comes after an Austin jury heard evidence in an 8-day trial, deliberated for 17 hours before it convicted Daniel Perry of murder and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon for fatally shooting 28-year-old Garrett Foster, who was an Air Force veteran.
The jury found the defendant Daniel Perry guilty of the offense of murder as alleged in count one of the indictment signed by the foreperson.
Perry was working as a rideshare driver when he drove his car into the protest after he had earlier tweeted he, quote, might have to kill a few people